The good news is that God is always with us. Good morning. On this Easter Sunday, I get to declare with great joy in my heart, Christ Jesus is risen. Let's do that one more time. Christ Jesus is risen. Today we gather to worship and serve a risen Savior. What a powerful video. Thank you, Nick and Christy Shelley, for sharing your resurrection story. Now, the resurrection today means we don't have to fear death in this life or the life to come. Everybody in this room has experienced loss. If you haven't yet experienced it, you will in your lifetime. But the resurrection means that we don't have to fear death in this life or the life to come. I want to share God's word with you this morning from a great passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's word? And since we preach that Christ was raised from the dead, why do some of you say that people will not be raised from the dead? If no one is ever raised from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. And also, we are guilty of lying about God because we testified of him that he raised Christ from the dead. But if people are not raised from the dead, then God never raised Christ. If the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith has nothing to it. You are still guilty of your sins. And those in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone else in the world. But Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one, and proof that those who sleep in death will also be raised. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that today we get to declare that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on that first Easter. We come to celebrate that through his resurrection, that everyone in this room, all across this campus, all over this city, all over this state, around the world, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we too can receive resurrection. So speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. I declare this morning the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. And that resurrection of Jesus Christ is not optional. Jesus didn't give us that choice. Today, if you were tomorrow, this week, go to a car lot and look to buy a new car, there'll be all kinds of options you get on that car. You can get fancier wheels. You can get a louder stereo. You can get heated seats. You can get whatever you want on a car today if you've got enough ka-ching, right? But you know, when you get in that car, there's one thing that's certainly not optional, and that's a steering wheel, right? You ever gotten a car without a steering wheel? Now, again, I guess we're getting into new technology today where somebody thinks we can drive a car without a steering wheel. I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet. How about you? I want a steering wheel in my car. I don't want that to be optional. And I would say to you, without the resurrection, we can't get where we want to go. Just like in that car. If you don't have a steering wheel, you can't get to where you need to go. Without the resurrection of Jesus, we have no direction. We have no hope. We can't get where we want to go. And everyone in this room one day believes and hopes that they will go to heaven. Because everyone in this room, unless the Lord Jesus comes back before this, we're all in terminal in this room. We're all going to be looking death square in the face. Without the resurrection, Paul says we are to be pitied more than anyone else. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We have no gospel. We have no good news. We have no Christianity. Now, there are those throughout the world that would agree that Jesus Christ was a great teacher. He taught us that we should love each other. We should turn the other cheek. We should be kind to each other. We should help the less fortunate. But those who talk about Jesus in the world today often talk about Jesus in the past tense, that he was a good teacher. He was crucified on a cross. He was dead, and he was buried. And certainly today we celebrate the cross. We wouldn't be here today without the cross. But as Easter people, we don't worship Jesus in the past tense. We worship Jesus in the present tense. Amen? Jesus is alive. People ask me, well, if Jesus is alive, where is he right now? What is Jesus doing right now if he's alive? Well, the book of Hebrews says that right now, Jesus is holding this world together. It is not armies that are holding this world together. It is not peace treaties that are holding this world together. It is not economic decisions. It is not politicians holding this world together. It is Jesus Christ, God's Son, is holding this world together. Where is Jesus Christ at today? The Bible says he's at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me, calling out my name and your name and asking God to show us mercy and show us grace. Where is Jesus Christ this morning? He is in this room through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen God's Spirit move across this room throughout the morning in the sanctuary. I just left over there, had prayer with him. God's Spirit moving in a mighty way. Jesus Christ present through the gift of his Holy Spirit. And he's working in this world through his church. That you and I are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. There is good news because of the resurrection. I love the story. It's an old story of an 80-year-old woman who had gotten some bad news. She was terminal. She had 6 months. So she invited the pastor to come and help her plan out her funeral. So the pastor comes and has got a notepad and he's taking notes. And she tells him what scripture she wants read, what songs she wants sung, what stories he should tell, and who should share in her service. He said, well, I've got it all down. This is great. I wish everybody would take the time to do this. This is very, very helpful. Your family's going to really appreciate you doing this. He said, well, there's two more things I want you to do. When I'm lying there at the funeral home and people come by, I want them to see two things. Number one, I want them to see a Bible in my right hand. Because I believe in the Bible. A Bible in my right hand. It says, now, the second thing is I want them to put a fork in my left hand. Pastor paused, says, I get the Bible, but I'm not sure I understand the fork. And she said, you know, when we go to those wonderful church suppers through the years, when the meal is almost finished, the hostess comes and says, as she collects the dirty dishes, everybody keep their fork. And you know what that meant, don't you? It meant that dessert was coming and not some soupy jello or some pudding, because you can eat that stuff with a spoon. But when they say keep your fork, it means that chocolate cake or cherry pie is coming next. It means that something better was coming. So when folks walk by my casket and they wonder why there's a fork in my hand, you tell them that Aunt Marty believes something better was coming. This morning, because of the resurrection, we believe that something better is coming. The resurrection promises us that something better is coming. As a pastor, I get asked these two questions a lot. Number one is, what happens when I die? What's going to happen to me when I die? And another question is this, will I see my loved ones again? What happens to my loved ones? Now, if you've been watching the media over the last several weeks, in the passing of one of the great giants of the Christian faith, you've probably seen this quote. Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address. I have gone into the presence of God. Billy Graham declared for the world that he believed that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, something better was coming for him. Someday you will read or hear that Pastor Jeff is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address. Someday you will read or hear that John or Janet, put your name in there, Jim, Sally, Catherine, Olivia is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. See, Nick and Christy have full confidence that they will see Olivia again because of the power of the resurrection. You know, Jesus made this amazing promise in John 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. The power of the resurrection. And Jesus said those words before he was arrested, before he was hung on that cross. And he was buried in that tomb, and for 3 days he was dead. And on that third day, he resurrected so that we can know that we, by faith in Jesus Christ, can go to heaven. And we can know that we will see those loved ones who have died before us in heaven. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. And I love how the Message version paraphrases verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. If you come here this morning on Easter Sunday and you're hoping to get a little bit of inspiration and that's all you get, you've missed the whole purpose of gathering to worship. If you come to church every now and then for a little bit of inspiration, boy, that music was good. That message really kind of inspired me to go do something different this week. If that's all you get, you've missed the whole point of coming. Paul goes on to say, but the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. You see, resurrection is life after death. But resurrection is also life after life, life after life. There's a lot of people in this room today that have experienced brokenness, experienced great loss, and you wondered how you could pick up the pieces and begin to live again. Resurrection is also life after life. The verse that has been my theme verse through the years at Mount Horeb, it was on the front of our bulletins the very first weekend that I preached here, is John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Now, Jesus is teaching people who are alive, and yet he tells them that they can find life and new life. What's he talking about in preaching this to people that are alive? The reality is the Bible tells us that we are all made up of more than just the physical body, of bone and flesh. And if you're here today, you're alive and you're walking and you're talking and you're thinking about lunch and you're hoping we get out on time so you can make the appointment you got. I know that's the physical side of all of us. But the Bible says that we're also made out of a soul and a spirit and a body. It's what makes us different than the rest of the creation, that we are made in the image of God, made to be in relationship with God. And if God is not in our lives, in a relationship, the Bible says that we are spiritually dead. We're not alive. We're existing. We're going through the motions. And if you're here this morning, you know what that feels like whenever whatever makes you happy for a moment doesn't last. And that emptiness comes back and that loneliness comes back. And you keep searching for real joy and real purpose, but you can't quite find it. And you're looking for life in all the wrong places. The life you're looking for doesn't give you meaning. It doesn't give you a purpose. And you wonder why God put you here on the planet. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2. He says it wasn't so long ago that all of us were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. How many of us are guilty of that? We allow the world and the culture to tell us how we should live. We watch ads and we watch Facebook and we see how everybody, and we want to live that way. If I could just live like that, if I could just have that in my life. And the reality is, the Bible said a long time ago, Jesus says, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what does it gain you? You get all of that and you lose your soul. What has it gained you? He goes on to say, we all did it. We've all done it. All of us doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it, we're all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder that God didn't lose his temper and do away with all of us. Instead, he showed immense mercy, and with incredible love, he went to a cross, and he took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. Can I get an amen? That God wants to make you alive in Christ. Nick shared in the video the story of resurrection for them. That winter, it snowed. It had never snowed before. Haven't we all been there again in the midst of loss, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of death? And we want God to come and rescue us. I want you to think about this morning. Do you want to be rescued or do you want to be resurrected? Rescued or resurrected? Now, we could argue, I want both, right? I want God to come and rescue me out of my pain and my grief and my troubles and my trials. But see, God knows that rescue is only temporary and resurrection is forever. And God is more interested in changing us forever than he is in changing our temporary situation right now. Adam Hamilton said it this way, the worst thing that can happen to you if you're a person of faith won't be the last thing that happens to you. Let life do its worst, but don't let life at its worst take away your resurrection hope in Jesus Christ. Do you want to be rescued or do you want to be resurrected? You know, Jesus refused to be rescued from the cross so he could go through resurrection from the tomb. This morning, do you want protection or do you want presence? The presence of God in your life. William Clone Coffin suggests that we have a God who provides us with minimum protection, but maximum support. Minimum protection, but maximum support. Again, many of you have lived that here. And certainly God walks with us and God looks out for us. But there are times when God does not keep bad things from coming into our lives. We want God to protect us from every bad thing. But what does God promise? I'll be with you when every bad thing happens to you. I'll be with you when that happens. See, God never promised to step in and prevent bad things. He said his grace would be sufficient. In talking with Dr. Bill Bolton, who's preaching over in the sanctuary this morning about resurrection stories, that Bill and his wife lost their 9-year-old son, Aaron, to cancer, and how devastating and difficult that was. And I love what Bill said. He said, not everything that happens is in God's plan, but everything is useful in God's hand. Presence more than protection. Resurrection people can say with confidence, I don't know what tomorrow may bring. It may be good, it may be bad, but I'll never have to face anything that God and I cannot handle together. That with God's help, I can handle this. So don't let life's worst convince you you're alone. You are never alone. Before Jesus ascended into heaven to go to the right hand of God the Father, he said, I'll be with you always. I'll be with you always until the end of the age. As Nick and Christy talked about life on the other side of death, about life on the other side of life, their faith was renewed because the Holy Spirit showed up. God's Spirit was present through their small group, through their family, through their friends who prayed for them and cried with them, through the ministry of the church. Now, there's a temptation when bad things happen, when we don't get protected, when we don't get rescued. Do we circle the wagons or do we change the world? You remember those old Western movies? Whenever the settlers or the cowboys were traveling across the prairie and the Indians would gather on the horizon and the settlers would circle the wagons trying to get protection, hold them off until somebody comes and rescues us. And isn't that how most of us are when trouble comes? We circle the wagons. That's what Jesus' disciples did. After his death, his disciples circled the wagons. They began to hide in fear because Jesus' mission was over. He was dead. He was buried. We saw him crucified. They circled the wagons until Jesus, the resurrected one, came looking for them and presented his hands that were nail scarred to them and ate meals with them. And hundreds of witnesses saw Jesus resurrected, and they stopped circling the wagons, and they went out and began to change the world because they were full of the Holy Spirit and launched the kingdom of God. Easter people don't stay circled up, but launch out with new hope and power, the power of God to change the world. You know, Christy talked about being scared of the what ifs. And a lot of us are paralyzed by the what-ifs of life. What if? What if this happens? Or what if this doesn't happen? I believe when we experience the power of the resurrection, we don't have to be afraid of the what-ifs. Because God gives us the power to ask, what's next? What now? What do you want to do through all of this, God, in my life? What gives you hope today? Is it the things of this world or the things of God? You know, the worship team did an amazing job singing about the cross. And the cross provides the final word. I want to read you this other scripture here from Colossians 2. Wonderful passage as you think about resurrection and the cross. Chapter 2. When you were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you are not free from the power of your sinful self, God, say it with me, read it with me. God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all our sins. He canceled the debt, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to the cross. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. Powerless. Say powerless. If you have been crucified with Christ, you've been raised to new life. You see, the cross brings new life. This morning, you may feel like you're as lost as you can be, that your sins have got you so far from God, that you've done things that God cannot forgive. That's a lie from hell. Because on that cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins. No matter what you've done, no matter what you haven't done, is the penalty has been paid. He forgave all my sins. He canceled all my debt. And when that happens, when new life happens, I begin to have a heart, a hunger for the things of God. I want to know what God wants in my life. I begin to face the sins and struggles that I used to not be bothered by, and to go, I want to begin to be a new person. God, help me to become a better man, a better father, a better mother, a better son, a better daughter. And Lord, help me, because you've shown me grace, help me to have grace for those who are still struggling. Help me not to condemn those who are struggling, because I was once there. I was once lost and felt hopeless. Give me grace in my life. The cross brings new life. The resurrection brings new creation. He stripped the spiritual rulers of power. He won the victory. I want you to hear this morning. Jesus has the power to save us, but he also has the power to transform cultures, transform cynics, transform countries. Hear this, church. Jesus Christ has not waved the white flag and surrendered to this world. He has not given into the powers of this world. He's still the Lord of history. He's still sovereign. Jesus Christ can help us face the enormous social problems we face. He's powerful enough to forgive any sin and transform anyone today. The world offers many saviors. Only one lives today. The world offers many shortcuts. But Jesus said, I am the way. Not I was the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. You see, resurrection changed history. You know, it so happens that today is April Fool's Day. You knew that, right? It hasn't happened for 62 years. It won't happen again for another 9 years, where Easter falls on April Fool's Day. See, April Fool's Day is built on a lie, a trick. I tell you today, the resurrection was not a trick. It was not a lie. It's about life, and life that you and I can experience today. It'll change us and change the world. So what does this new creation look like? It looks like Nick and Christy Shelley overcoming, by God's help, the tragedy of loss. It looks like the after-school program here at Mount Horeb. It looks like the Courage Center that helps opiate addiction. It looks like Lighthouse for Life, which helps rescue women out of human trafficking. It looks like people who make an effort to dig wells, build hospitals, care for the needy, people that love their neighbor as themselves. In this closing scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, the very end of this great chapter, but now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death are gone. The gift of our master to you, to me, Jesus Christ, thank God. And with all this going on for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't give up. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. What is your resurrection story? Nick and Christy Shelley shared theirs. What is yours? The Bible tells us today if we will repent, confess our sins to God, that he will forgive us. If we will receive Jesus Christ into our soul, into our heart, he'll come in and change our lives. He will regenerate us into a new creation. That's the gift of God. And nothing in this world can give that to you, but God can. New life. Let me pray with you. Father God, you're at work here today. You're moving in this place, and I pray that we would allow you to move in a mighty way. That for someone here today, that right now they would just say, Father God, I've blown it. Father God, I've messed up. I repent right now. I turn from my sins right now. I ask you to forgive me. And right now, Father God, I know you're going to forgive that man, forgive that young person, forgive that woman. And Lord God, they would receive Jesus into their life, into their soul, and become a new person today, a new creation today. Make that prayer right now, and God will change your life. He'll use you to go and change the world. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning as we stand in worship, I've gone 4 minutes over. I don't want you to leave yet, because there's people making decisions all over this room. because there's people that need to run out of the darkness, out of their tomb into a glorious new day. Would you stand on Easter Sunday and let's worship like you've never worshiped in here? Stick around for this closing song. It's powerful, powerful, powerful. Let's worship together. Glorious day.